going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I appreciate the throwback, and I really do. I don't mean this as a knock at all, but the more throwbacks we play, the fewer songs I like.
Well, BT, it is our show.
Well, that is true. We had to reestablish a week ago in case you lost sight of that there, big boy.
No, by the way, you did mention, I don't know if it was earlier this week, you said something, you were referencing something, he's like, oh, on my show. And you did say the same thing, just without even thinking about it.
Did I on this show I did it?
I don't know if you said it off the air. You might have said it on the air, but you might have said it off the air once. It was a little something that I called it on purpose. You did. But we both like that music. All right, so a couple things. Baseball's about to get underway here. We've been talking a lot of NFL draft. Make sure you stay tuned tomorrow. Evan and Tiki will be live on draft day. Join us. Join them for a special broadcast live from the Dream Bar at the American Dream Mall ahead of day one of the NFL draft. Evan and Tiki, 2 to 6:30. Check it out, Dream Bar. We're excited about that. One thing on the baseball note, BT, before we get back to the calls on both the Jets and Giants and the draft and the excitement around that. Where are you at with Lindor and a captaincy here? We've referenced this a little bit. How important is it? Is it a big deal? For me, I feel like it's inevitable. And why not just make Lindor the captain now? I don't know if it would interrupt the flow of the season at all, but he's clearly the leader, both on the field, off the field, by example. There isn't anything Lindor hasn't done. He's got the perfect relationship with the Met fan. He's been clutch in the postseason. He's been clutch in big moments, hitting big home runs. It's right now as good as their relationship has ever been. He clearly is the leader of this team. I know Nimmo's a leader, and Alonso maybe, you know, the way he's played this year and establishing himself to a certain extent. But Lindor's got to be the guy. I would make him a captain. I don't know when the right timing is for that, but I do think Francisco Lindor should be the captain of the Mets.
It's his team. I mean, I think he's already thought to be the captain. I remember 2 years ago seeing videos, even when I was criticizing, you know, his inability to hit early or maybe not being quite the player that I thought he was going to be when they got him from the Guardians. But I always praised him for, you know, going out there with Vientos and doing defensive work. I remember seeing him down in Port St. Lucie, like in mid-February or even early February with some of the young players really trying to show them the ropes of how to be a pro. So there's no doubt that he is he's the captain. He just doesn't quite have that symbolic C. When do you do it? You know, I don't know that there's ever really a perfect time. I didn't really like the way the Yankees did it with Jeter back in the day. They stuffed it into the middle of the season. If you remember the details around that, that was actually in Cincinnati.
No, I don't remember.
They weren't playing particular. Maybe it was a diversion to get the Wolves off the piece of meat there. Yankee fans maybe not happy, but it was very oddly thrown in there. Why the hell are you doing it in Cincinnati? That was odd. I think if you're going to do it, and they should, maybe you do it down at Port St. Lucie before the season starts.
Right.
But I don't know if it was you or Hoff, and I don't want to steal this. I want to give you a chance to say it. One of you guys, I don't know how serious you were, one of you guys threw out something in the meeting today about maybe the perfect time to do it is, do you remember?
Was Hoff
it you
said that. No, it was Hoff who
Hoff,
said
go
that.
Ahead. Take, I don't want to steal your thunder here. Hoff, go ahead. Take a little glory.
No, I just thought that, you know, hey, perfect timing. David Wright's going to come here in July 19th, and numbers going to be retired. That's a perfect time to pass the torch to Francisco Lindor.
The symbolism is strong. Is it a little too WWE-y, if you will?
Yeah, I don't like it because then you take it away from David Wright. I'm not saying I'm opposed to the idea in general. I wouldn't need to do it the weekend of David Wright or after that. I don't know when the right time is to do it. And I don't know if you necessarily need to, you know, have somebody that is a captain, you know, when you know that he is the captain of this team anyway without having that C on his chest. I'm sure it'd be something he would appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
It's something he has earned. This is not without merit.
Yeah.
So I'm
and he's going to be here for a while.
Yeah, I'm all for it. It's, you know, the Mets are in the midst now of, this is really the beginning. Last year was the beginning of it, but this is now, okay, this is the sustained run that we're hoping for, potentially being in the midst of it. The fans have been great. The team has been great. They've got the superstars. Everything is in place. So why not just put the cherry on top, name him the captain, and away we go. The Knicks did it in the offseason with Brunson.
Yes, that was definitely offseason.
I do feel like it's a spring training thing more than it is an in-season thing.
Yeah, I mean, again, I just referenced the Yankees. Yeah. That was oddly stuffed in there. I don't know how they named, you know, Mattingly captain, I don't remember, or even Guidry and Randolph or Thurman. Was that bestowed upon him down in spring? I don't know.
Judge, obviously.
Well, of course. But that was different. That was... I think any way you do it, I think Lindor would be gracious. I think he's already the cat. I just hope he doesn't wear the C like Keith did. I always thought that was a little corny. Just don't put the C on the jersey.
Really? I like that.
You like Keith when Keith did that?
I mean,
Gary did it too, right?
As a kid, I don't recall that. I remember Keith having the C on there. As a kid, I thought it stood out.
It did. You know, but it didn't stand out. I don't know. I didn't like it.
You only like it in hockey with the captains on there?
Yeah. If Judge did it, I wouldn't like it. I don't like it in baseball.
Then, all right. So if you're not going to put it on the jersey, then really what are we doing? I mean, just letting everybody else know.
It's the symbolism. It's the...
Now, do you think that...
Public identification.
Do you think... Officially?
Yeah.
Because public right now, even though we can acknowledge Nimmo as being a leader of this team, and I do think Brandon Nimmo is a leader of this team, his play on the field has not warranted him being named a captain.
Captain?
Well, I'm just saying, no, of the two leaders on this team, I think there are two clear guys. It's Lindor and Brandon Nimmo.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Brandon Nimmo, but as far as the caliber of player that they are, it's not even close. Lindor has blown by him. Lindor was an MVP candidate a year ago. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Nimmo has yet to be an all-star with the Mets, so he's got a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But you do wonder, or at least I do wonder, if they did name Lindor a captain, would that impact Nimmo or potentially others in a negative way at all?
Okay. I don't think it would impact Pete. Let me start with a couple of the big ones here. I think Pete is fairly obtuse to all that stuff. Now, I don't mean contract stuff. He didn't handle that well, and I understand that that's different. The other stuff, like the clicks or the head, I don't think Pete cares. He's just old school, country strong. Let me hit my bombs and keep it moving. I don't think Juan Soto would care. I don't think Juan Soto really wants to be a captain.
Right.
I don't think he craves that. Yeah. And there's nobody else outside of Nimmo that would even be in the conversation. And no, I don't think it would negatively impact anybody.
Nimmo would be probably the one.
Yeah, but this is where I'm going to give him a lot of credit. Anytime we talk about Nimmo, I always preface it with, I really like Nimmo. I just don't think he's nearly as good as some other people do. And I'm going to stand by that.
Been here the longest,
drafted by the Mets. Yeah. I get a first round pick, understood. And last night was very much a captain's actions when the matchup would say, hey, put lefty-righty up here. Instead, we're not going to substitute Nimmo, and we're going to get a big knock from our catcher who's scuffling a little bit here. And you saw Nimmo's reaction, which was awesome from the top step, really enjoying the moment and happy for somebody other than himself. That's very captain-like. So I don't think anything that you were to do with Lindor would adversely impact Nimmo at all. By the way, it might help him. He's hitting 203. I mean, it might wake him up, if anything.
Yeah, hopefully. All right, BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. You know, we're running into the same dilemma here. Mm. We're just talking about the TV situation. You don't like watching two things at once. But again, we got the Mets and Yankees starting at, you know, 110 here. Mets are underway. I'm assuming the Yanks are, but we get the Mets on here. What happened to the TV setup? I thought we were going to get another TV so we could not have this. We could have both the Mets and Yanks on.
Well, to be fair, the last time we had this dilemma, we watched more Yankees. Yeah. And today, you know, I'm a good teammate. Well, watch a little more Mets, and we're out of here at 2. I've already recorded both because I knew what the deal was.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go to the Yankees at some point. Now,
Mets game does mean a little bit more looking for the sweep against the Phils versus the Yankees.
Well, you can make it. Yeah, it does. True. I mean, avoiding the sweep, but since it's the Phillies, I'll give you that. Now, strategically, here's where we messed up. I wasn't even thinking about this. I was just kind of wrapped up in the show. What we should have done is put the Yankees on first to see the Yankees hit. And then we should have flipped over to SNY and watched the Mets hit. But no, keep it on. I'd like to see Soto pop up.
Oh, there we go. Ben Rice, look at this. Just in time to get a little Ben Rice.
Look at this. Betty Rice, Betty Ball game.
Jimmy is in Warren County. What's up, Jimmy?
Good job with the flip there, Sal.
What's going on, fellas?
Yo. What's up?
Yo, BT, I got the same problem you have, not registering when I'm watching multiple TVs. Yeah. I got to watch one TV.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the gummies, bro.
No, not for me. That's the no, you know what it is,
Hey,
Jimmy?
Can I throw something in with the Giants?
That's funny. Yeah, of course. But hold on. You know what I think it is, Jimmy? And I've always said this, and not everybody wants to hear this, but I think the more intelligent you are, the more aware you are of many things going on, and you kind of process a lot of things, and those wires kind of, you know, cross over once in a while. It's an intellectual issue. I can't help it.
I do agree. Hey, with the Giants, real quick. Yeah. Sorry, our Giants fan. Take Carter at 3, and if you got the guy that you like at 34, and you don't have to spend no draft picks, you'll never fold the franchise on a second-round pick.
That's true.
Let me just ask you real quick, Jimmy. What if Carter's not there at 3? What do you do?
I think I'm fielding calls and trying to trade back a little bit. I like Mason Graham myself to put him next to Dexter. I think that's our weak point.
Yep.
We need someone next to Dexter up there to stop the run.
But you can't take him at 3, right? You with me on that? No Graham at 3. You got to trade out.
No, only if we move back. Yep. Only if we move back, you can take Graham.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
There we go.
Off the top of the wall, Judge. He is absolutely sick, this guy. Come on, Ben's going to score. He has to score from first on that. Judge, he with a triple. Keep those Yankees on. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
it's a good call to watch them hit. I wasn't even thinking about that.
And good job, Judgey.
Just missing what should have been his 9th home run of the year.
God, he's
obviously
insane,
stuck on 7.
He's insane.
Yeah, he really is insane.
Let me see.
I thought it was gone off the bat because look at his reaction here.
So I don't know how. Hoff, can you tell how high is the center field fence?
It's actually
left center. That's got to be about 26, 20.
Right off the top of the yellow? Wall. No, right off the top of the wall.
How high is that the highest portion of the fence? And look at him using the speed, too.
I don't know. I'm sure you can look that up.
Well, I'm just curious, though. It's not as high as Fenway, which is 37 or 38 feet. I'm going to say about 30 feet either way.
Yanks out to a nice start here. Bellinger with his 173 average.
Looks good, though, with those Oakleys, doesn't he?
He looks
like a ball player.
He is a good-looking ball player. Defensively, he's all over the place. We mentioned that. Yeah, it'd be nice. Yeah, that's my issue with the Yanks. Too many inconsistencies in there. All right, we'll keep an eye on both the Yankees and the Mets. Sonny is in Malvern talking about the draft. What's up, Sonny?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Hey, son.
Good. I guess it's a late-arriving crowd. I'm stuck in a little traffic going to the city for work for the Met crowd. Mm. Anyway, huge, huge Giant fan. I mean, my dad passed away a year and a half ago, and all he would do is go through all the Giant magazines and pick basically every player and every round that he thought the Giants were going to pick. So God bless him. I miss him, and so thinking about him. Anyway, what I would do, what I would have been saying all along, guys, and it looks like the Giants, from what I hear, is what they're going to do. That is, pick Carter at 3 if he's available, who I think, in my opinion, is the best player at his position in the draft, by far, I think. And number 2, trade up for either Jackson Dart, and if that doesn't work, you go with your second pick, Jalen Milroe, who my son is the University of Alabama, and I've been on the field for 2 games and seen him up close. He is a beast, guys, and I've been hearing, which I don't think is true, I think Lamar Jackson is, but a couple experts are saying he's the best running quarterback they've ever seen coming out of college.
Yes.
And he is a beast. He reminds me of, what's his name, Josh Allen, guys. He's big. He has a cannon of
he's
an
6'4".
arm. His accuracy is not so great. What do they say about Josh Allen?
My question is, why wouldn't he, and thank you for the call, Sonny. We appreciate you checking in and sharing those thoughts with us. My question would be, why wouldn't he go sooner then? If we're all saying the same thing about him.
His throwing.
The athleticism, he's got the arm, he could run. You know, the comparisons, we went over that last week, I think it was Mike Vick they compared him to.
Mm-hmm.
So I love all that. You'd have to think other teams would say he'd be worth the flyer. Then why would he last till the second round or whatever, you know?
Doesn't throw it the way a lot of people want to justify a top 10 pick. He was plus 5 touchdowns to pick ratio a year ago with Alabama. Now, I know Alabama's not quite what they were. But you throw 16 touchdowns and 11 picks at Alabama with a ton of talent? That's not exactly distinguishing. You know, light the world on fire.
I'm not saying you need to go top 10, but you're telling me a team.
He's going
to
go first round, Sal.
Okay.
Very late.
But people keep talking about Jackson Dart, Shador Sanders.
I think they're all going first round.
Maybe the best way to say it would be who is the second quarterback. You think they're all going in the first round?
I do.
Who do you think is the second quarterback off the board? Because for me, based on what I value, I would go Milroe myself.
I'm not saying, I'm saying what I think
and,
is going to happen.
No, and I'm also saying that based on how I feel about it and based on the skill set and scouting reports, how could Milroe not? we're not the only ones who are like, man, his athleticism, that's appealing. There's no way. So other teams might be saying the same damn thing.
You know what he ran the 40 in?
What?
Sub 4.
Yeah.
4.37. And I thought he was 6'3". He's 6'2 and a half, 225 pounds, and he ran a 4.37 40.
Right.
You know, you get him in the right system, kind of like Jalen Hurts, who he's bigger than and faster than with the Eagles, and you might have an absolute monster. You know who I could see drafting him? Steelers.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking. So everybody's pinning Shador to the Steelers.
No, I know. But I think that there's, listen, Ward's going first round. I think that Sanders, I don't love him, but I think he's going round one. I think that Dart's going round one. And I think that when you start to see these teams grabbing quarterbacks, I think somebody says, all right, you know, let me get that extra year on Milroe like the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson, and I'll draft him 28, 29, 30. I'll get the fifth year option, and I'll take a chance on this right. Sick athlete.
It could even be a team that just says, we don't need a quarterback, but
could be.
I'm not passing on.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
On this guy and his talent. Steve is in Levittown. What's up, Steve?
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up,
Steve? Before I make my jet point, I remember you guys talking about having your babies and stuff.
My daughter was born on September 7th, 2001.
That's my dad's
birthday. We brought her home the morning of September 11th.
Oh. Wow.
We get into the house, you know, new baby, everything's great, everything's wonderful. My wife's on the couch. Oh. We put the news on, and then the whole world changed, and I'm sitting there, you know, thinking, what did I bring into the world?
Steve, where were you living at that point?
Levittown.
No, I didn't know if you were living there then. Did you lose anybody in the attack?
No, I lost a childhood friend who was a fireman at the time.
I'm sorry, buddy.
But I'm saying, you know, the dichotomy of coming home with a new baby. We had the nursery.
Yeah,
you know,
you're excited about life and everything.
Out.
Yeah. And then that happened.
And then all of a sudden the buildings come down. It was like such an incredible day. But thank God she's 24. She's doing outstanding.
God bless her.
So, you know, awesome, God bless that.
What's going on?
My jet point is, I'm 65 years old, man. I've been waiting too damn long. They got to draft offensive linemen, and they have to run the football, and they have to be more disciplined. No more penalties. No more BS. I'm so sick of it. I don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers. It's been 57 or 58 years. We haven't won anything. We've won 3 division titles in 57 years. The most wins we've ever had was 12.
98.
Come on, let's go, guys.
98.
No, you're not going to get it this year either, Steven. Thanks for the call. So you're going to be a little more patient. I mean, it could be the beginning. I don't think either team is going to be good this year. I know you said the Giants, if they have a good draft, that they could be. I think I'm just hoping for watchable football. I have high expectations with a lot of things. I'm going to lower the expectations and hope for watchable football. Ooh, Goldie almost had one.
He's hitting the hell. That's right. I looked up late. That's right center field. Yeah, off the wall, a little two-bagger. Yanks look very good. I like the response so far. Now let's see if they can situationally hit. They got second and third with nobody out here. So let's get it. Let's walk away with 4. I mean, come on, Jazz. You know, move something to the right side.
You're
going to
need
it too,
because Rodon's on the mound.
See. Well, he pitched great last time. Oh, that ball should have been caught, dude. He mistimed it. I said this to you earlier, all right? Goldschmidt really has looked very good. Now, this is where I think that we will get much more competitive football both sides. Last year, first of all, I do think the Giants quarterback situation will be, I'm almost hesitant to say, I'm almost willing to say much better than a year ago, but I won't go much, but it's going to be better. Week 2 against the Washington Commanders, they lost 21-18. They lost 20-15 to Dallas. They lost 17-7 to Cincy. They lost 27-22 to the Commanders. They lost in overtime to Carolina, 20-17. They lost 14-11 to the Saints. So, I mean, there are games there with the starting. That's why if you get a great defensive player, Carter or Graham, and you're a really good defense, you're going to win 2, 3, 4 more games than you did last year.
I don't see it. And you know, I was a big backer in Dable earlier on. I don't think Russell Wilson's any good.
He's better than what they had last year. That's for damn sure.
Well, we'll see. We'll see the other pieces in place, too. I just don't think – I think the Giants are better than what they think that they are. And even last year – they should have won some of those games last year, even with Daniel Jones being the quarterback. And they didn't. They did all they could to lose. One day it's special teams. One day it's a bad call. One day it's the offense. One day it's the defense. All those things that they did was clear signs, smack you in the face signs of a losing football team. I tried to back them and believe them, and it's not as bad going through all the things that you just did. All right, I can make an excuse for this one. I can make an excuse for that one. And they just never got off the ground. They could never do it. I don't think it's going to be much different with Russell Wilson, who has been a losing quarterback.
This guy started, Jazz. It started bothering me, man.
That's your guy, Jazz.
No, what does he mean, my guy?
Well, you said he was going to have a big year.
Well, I mean, I thought he was going to get more than one. Look at that pitch, dude. It is 0-2. I know we're jumping to this.
Non-competitive at bat.
I mean, look at that. Just flailing at a soft slop outside. It's a foot outside. It's 0-2. You got 2 on. Just hit the ball in the air or hit a grounder to the right side. Like, that worries me. Now we'll see what Volpe can do this.
Same thing.
Empty at bats by Jazz and too many Yankees bothers me. It's a problem.
Good news is if you added Volpe's average and Jazz's average up, you'd have a .300 hitter. Jazz is under .200. Volpe at .209. That is.
You better watch it. I mean, Volpe's a 2 or 3 game hit streak away from having higher average than Soto. Take it easy.
Why have I been saying anything about Soto that's been...
he's doing great.
Yeah. Soto's hitting 230. His OPS is near 800. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call. I just want to keep it one sec, Dove. I want to see what Volpe does here, if we could just react to this.
Oh, God. Brutal swing slider outside.
Oh, we're missing Soto at bats now for this? Come on. Hoff is telling me Soto singled.
Soto singled. Where'd he hit little, it? To right field.
Yeah. And he shuffles.
Not shuffle, but more like
either a... Either ground to right field, by the way.
On the ground.
Yeah, that's what he's been doing. Well, he's been in ground balls to first base. That's whole year.
He had a couple line drives last night. One up the middle, one... Oh, that's just a horrendous...
Shocker.
See, this...
Shocker. Second and third. Nobody out, right?
No, they were second and third. Nobody out.
Second and third. Nobody out for Jazz and Volpe. They both strike out.
Lefty and a righty, empty at bats. And by the way, very quick strikeouts, not like 3-2. They both fell behind 0-2. And listen, Volpe's swinging for the fences there. I know it's, listen, just like it wasn't like, let me choke up. He swings like he's trying to hit a home run. The approach by some of the Yankees is deplorably bad in clutch situations.
And maybe Boone is going to have to consider at some point. Again, I know it's very early. You can't have those two back to back in the order, and you can't have them that high. That.
Yeah, what do you do, though? How many options are there until
Dominguez, maybe? Wells, maybe?
Yeah, Dominguez has been better. I mean, until I think Wells gets hot, because Wells is hitting 190.
I know, but
dude.
Don't you think a part of Wells' struggle, at least it's giving you better at bats?
I agree. He's definitely a much more productive hitter.
And I feel like a part of his struggles is they've been moving him around. I was going to use the J word there, but they've been moving him around.
Yeah.
He's going to be the leadoff guy. He goes out there, hits a bunch of home runs opening weekend. I still trust Wells to give a more quality at bat than I do Jazz or Volpe.
High fastball that swings through it.
I would have Wells hit behind Goldschmidt. If you want the lefty to protect him, I'll put Jazz down in the order, and maybe use Dominguez to break them up, or just put Dominguez behind him.
Not terrible.
Who do you trust offensively more? How can you trust Jazz and Volpe
now? I'm not saying that I do. I'm saying that I don't. I don't know that there's another viable option that's going to satisfy what they need, better at bats, quality at bats, situational hitting that's currently on the roster.
And don't you think this is too similar to last year, when it would be the same thing? Now, obviously, it was different people with Soto being there and Judge, but it was Soto, Judge, or in the postseason, even Glaber, Soto, Judge. And even if they got guys on, there was nothing behind it that was going to deliver and really break a game early.
Three strikeouts, dude. That is just flat-out embarrassing.
You were saying 4-0. I'm thinking, all right, like feeling good. At least it's going to be 3.
Nothing.
And this is what the Yankees do?
That's gross, dude. That's just unacceptable.
All right, let's flip over to the good guys. We talked about the Yanks struggling again. Second and third, nobody out. Up comes Jazz and Volpe. They strike out, and then Austin Wells finishes it off. He strikes out as well. And what happens with Carlos Rodon? Out of the chute, giving up a double, then another base hit. Bellinger, a misplay. And yeah, we're just praising his defense, and he butchers one in center field that turned what should have been a single into a three-bagger for Ramirez.
You don't see that too often. It's one thing, you know, guys maybe misjudge the depth of a ball, or it's in the gap, and maybe they take a step in, or they take a step in, and they kind of misjudge it that way. You don't see every night at the big league level a center fielder or an outfielder from at any spot, for that matter, charging a hard ground ball, having it hit the heel of his glove and ricocheting 50 feet in a different direction, allowing a base hit up the middle to have somebody land at third base. Now, I know what Bellinger was doing. There you go. Looks like he gets out of it. All right, so ground out to first base. Yanks up 2-1. Rodon does not have his stuff. He's getting hit hard. 3 rockets. That last one was hit hard as well. But you can't have that happen, dude. It's a horrendous look where he's trying to get a peek at the runner, because if he fields that cleanly, they're either going to hold him at third or he's going to gun him out at the plate.
But right, it was hit that hard.
It was like a two hopper. It was hard to center, and it was right at him. So I get what he's doing. He's trying to come up gunning, and he's been a very good defensive player so far. But that was just a gross sequence. And on top of the whiff in the top of the first, with, you know, guys on second and third, nobody out, not exactly a buttoned up start to the game for the Yankees trying to avoid the sweep.
I will say, though, that Rodon, I give him credit for not allowing that second run to score there, because Cleveland had a chance similar to the Yankees with a runner at third and less than 2 outs to drive in a run, and they did not. We're watching the Mets now, you know, first and second for the Phillies. So we'll get back to your calls. One thing I did want to say before, we talked about the Dave Lennon article on Newsday,
yeah,
which is great. Check it out, about the pitching. Tim Healy also had one.
Is this a Soto thing?
Yeah, did you read it?
I read it a little bit, but I saved it for the air.
The money thing was, so Jose Azucar, the outfielder that they got, he was teammates with Soto in San Diego, and obviously now teammates again. I'm sure that's a big part of why he's here. And he was busting Soto's chops about being more of a base stealer. And Soto's talking about the on-base percentage, and because he's on base all the time, although this year it's still under 400. Yeah. But because, it, you know, historically he's an on-base machine. He wants to be more of a threat on the base paths. He has two stolen bases this year. Did you see what Azekar referred to him as?
No. I didn't see.
Because he made fun of Soto for sliding. And he called him a dead cow.
Oh.
Isn't that a great... I mean, that... But it's fun to me to have a guy like Azekar to bust Soto's chops, and Soto doesn't like it. He's sensitive to it.
Okay.
To have him go out there and say, Azekar said, when he slides, it looks just like a dead cow. So they call him the dead cow. Or he calls him the dead cow, because when he slides, it looks just like a dead cow.
Jesus.
Soto gets so mad at it, Azekar says. Nice to know that somebody like
Azekar. Soto actually gets mad at that?
That's what he, I mean,
mad is, you know, relative to friendship, but it bothers him.
That's what I like. Oh, man, Vientos just booted one.
I never thought that his sliding was that problematic. Did you?
No, but I could see why you would. Soto's
he's thicker. He's a little burly.
Slower. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but
I think he's been fine. I think the lack of defense or lack of quality base running, I think that's overplayed. Is it elite? No. Is he fast? No. Is he a great Gold Glove defensive player? No, but he's more than solid. He's adequate. He's not a butcher. And on the base paths, he's fine. I like that he's making more of an effort to be a little bit of a threat, but I just thought it was funny to have, you know, his teammate, former teammate, current teammate, Azekar, referring to him the way that he looks when he slides like a dead cow.
Keeps the clubhouse loose. Yeah. Got no problem with that. I mean, and listen, by the way, when I talk about Soto's speed or his defense, and he's got a pretty good arm, he's not going to sell.
You're not running on him there. Look at Soto throwing a pee home.
Dude, it's a pop-up to right.
What do you mean
field?
A pop-up to right?
That's a moderately hit ball. No team is sending anybody.
I'm not talking about the pop-up.
He's 260 feet away, man. He's a major league right fielder.
He followed through with a throw on the line. Didn't bounce to the catcher. Wasn't up the line. So it was right there on the money.
Look where he is.
I know.
He's not even near the warning track.
Yeah, just don't run on him. That's it. No, look at that throw.
He's actually got a pretty good arm.
Come on. I mean, you're knocking that throw.
No, I'm just saying. I don't think any team is scoring on that ball. It wasn't hit that far. But either way, he's got a good arm. I don't have a problem with his arm. When I talk about Soto's defense and his base running, yeah, it's average now, although I think he's got a slightly above average arm, and I think the metrics would back that up. I think it probably feeds more into how I feel about what he's going to look like as this contract ages.
I get it.
He's not a butcher in right. He's not Balboni on the bases. No, he's not that guy. But he just, like, when you're average and you're in your mid-20s, early 30s is going to be an issue. But as long as you're hitting 310 or whatever, it's not a big deal.
He doesn't look like he will age well in the outfield. But
no.
But that'll be a problem for another day, hopefully 5-10 years down the road. Hoff, you said you have something here with that. By the way, the Mets got out of it. They had a bases-loaded jam. Peterson got out of it, so no score there. What do you have about Abdul Carter?
Yeah, so I guess he's somewhere in Pennsylvania right now doing some sort of charity work and stuff like that. But there's a really good quote that maybe some of the Knicks should take part in or listen up closely to. Here it is with the media.
What about your Philly roots? And if you did play in New York, what would that be like?
That'd be dope. But obviously, you know, once I go to New York, I'm all New York. I'm going to have to leave Philly behind. So we'll see.
What is Philly?
See, I like that.
Brunson, get that message, buddy.
Cole Anthony Towns wearing an Eagles sweater
on the bench
in Philadelphia against the Sixers. I don't care if you want to be an Eagle fan. I respect that. Brunson's a big diehard Eagle fan.
Yeah.
Go ahead, be an Eagle fan. Can you not wear their gear while you're playing against a Philadelphia team? That's a little bit much.
But is that also maybe too much of a flip-flopper? Like, if he's that quick to kind of forget about everything that he cared about up until this point in his life, maybe he's not worth drafting.
Fraudulent, maybe.
Maybe he's not an all-in kind of guy.
I don't know. You got Michael Strahan waving the Eagles flag.
Yeah, that was ridiculous, Strahan.
I'm just saying.
That was just stupid. That was stupid.
I like it from Carter saying that if I'm New York, I'm all in.
I like it too. It's a quote that's going to sell and resonate with every Giant fan.
Speaking of the Giants.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre packs starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's in their draft. Steve is in Fairport, New York. What's up, Steve?
BT and Sal, keep on doing the voodoo that you do. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, want to talk about the draft a little bit. So, you and I, the three of us have kicked around the fact that I did not want either one of those guys back. We've kicked that around ad nauseum. And my fear was they were going to sell the farm to save their own keisters. They tried. So, I think we've got a little good football karma coming way. So, I think we won that Indianapolis game. And I think the karma is that we failed with Stafford. So we didn't get rid of a haul of picks. We failed with Rodgers, so we don't have that anti-COVID drug-doing dark cave.
All right, well, you don't like Rodgers. I got you. Keep going.
Four-time MVP, Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
Of favor, yeah. Maybe best exactly. Field thrower of the football ever, that guy.
Right,
yep.
Right.
But we're almost forced into a situation where we have greatly improved our secondary. We have. If we add Carter to this defense, we are going to have an excellent defense. The quarterback room is, I think, vastly improved. And we're almost forced to take Carter at three and either trade down, give away a little bit, or just stand put and draft Milroe or somebody like that in the second round.
Well, Steve, I think the one thing, thanks for the call there, buddy. I think the one thing that we kind of forget, or at least don't weave into the conversation enough, is that you got to get lucky. I mean, if the Blazers don't take Sam Bowie all those years ago,
yeah,
there's no Bulls dynasty.
Right.
You know, so I get it. We can focus on, well, there's not really a quarterback that they love, and maybe they should do this, and they could do that. But if the Browns do this or two, then you maybe do this. That's all part of the speculatory nature of the draft. And I love that stuff. I find it interesting. I find it really fun. I love the draft here. But part of becoming excellent is by getting lucky and by Stafford kind of playing the Giants for the money. The Giants were able to retain a hole, which they will be able to use to their blossoming defense. And, you know, Rodgers saying thanks, but no thanks. You don't waste time on that. It sets them in a different motion. Now, the Giants were this close to firing Bill Parcells back in the day. I think he had 3 wins, right, early on. And they elected not to do it. If they did that and they just get a recycled, you know, transient nomad, whatever, are they really winning the Super Bowl a couple of years later? I don't think so because I don't think Parcells is that great. You got to get a little lucky. And the Giants may have dodged a couple of bullets that will enable them to get lucky.
And I do think that they would get even luckier if the first two teams pass on Abdul Carter, who I believe firmly is the best player in this draft. It seems like that is a foregone conclusion. I'm not so sure. That, to me, would be the one thing. Yeah, okay, great. Carter's there at 3. You take him. I think everybody at this point is probably in line with that thought process. What happens if Carter is gone before the Giants select at number 3?
I'm trading. You know what I'm doing. Trading out. See ya.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
You guys are missing out, by the way.
I've even included
gaming while I'm watching ball games.
Well, that's not true.
That's not true. Hold on.
Listen, I am honest enough to admit that just the way my mind works, if I'm watching multiple things, in essence, I'm watching nothing. I'm really not absorbing things the way I want to absorb them.
Right.
That does happen
1,000%.
And I don't let it happen.
BT, your philosophy on TVs is like Mike's philosophy on quarterbacks back in the day.
What?
When you have two quarterbacks, you have none. It's changed, bro.
It hasn't changed for me.
It's completely changed.
That's changed for you.
No, it's changed.
It will never change for me.
I will do.
I will remain a dinosaur in that regard.
Jimmy is in Warren County. What's up, Jimmy?
Yo, BT, I got the same problem you have. Not registering when I'm watching multiple TVs. Yep. I got to watch one TV.
Uh-huh.
I think it's the gummies, bro.
No, not for me. That's
there you have it, call of the day. That was pretty fun. All right, all hell's breaking loose here, BT.
Good show.
We get the Yankees scoring a bunch of runs here. And, of course, Dominguez got on base with a walk. And then Ben Rice followed with a base hit.
Benny ball game.
Paul Goldschmidt driving another run in as well. So the Yanks up 4-1 in Cleveland right now. Bases loaded, 2 out. Would Jazz just walk? I missed that.
I didn't see that. I was actually outside talking to some guys in the newsroom.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to.
Okay.
So as we're coming back from the bathroom, I see Lugie, and I see a left-handed hitter for the Mets hit a ball up in a Coca-Cola, whatever it is, porch there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what do we got here? And it was Brett Beatty who hit a 2-run homer off of Zach Wheeler.
Rocked it.
And Lugie was not even watching it. And I'm like, Lugie, what's going on? You're not watching it? She's like, oh, no, I'm cutting freaking tape. Positive Lugie. First time I've seen positive Tommy. A little upset out there because he's got work to do. His
viewing habits are being tested with the work that he's got to actually do. See, but I wouldn't say that it's... All right, so Positive Tommy was born.
He was a little angry, Positive Tommy, just now.
Oh, okay, but Positive Tommy was born, well, number one, to cut through and to be different. But it was born out of him being the beacon of light for pessimistic fans.
Yes, okay. I like that, yes.
Okay, but I guess the energy that he just showed to you, and I didn't feel that. I was talking to him very briefly, although he wasn't saying much, so maybe I just didn't pick up on it. Was not that he was not positive about the Mets or the Knicks.
No, not at all.
It's just that he was maybe a little bit busy and maybe doing the one aspect of his job that he hates. So
he was negative about life in general. He was upset.
But if positive Tommy is derived from sports, which it was, then how do we attach a negative Tommy when it's not about the outcome of the game, it's more about something else?
Fair enough. I can't speak to your encounter
with
Tommy, but my encounter with Tommy was a negative one. I was all excited. Oh, Beatty hit a home run. I'm expecting Lugie to go nuts. And he's like, what happened? I'm like, oh, you're not even watching the game? I'm cutting all these freaking highlights. This was a quote. I'm cutting all these freaking highlights. Yankees scoring 4 runs. Well, I didn't even know the Yankees had scored. So I'm like, oh, what happened there? So Lugie, his responsibility before the show is to cut tape out there. I used to do that myself. So
he's here 2 hours before the show.
Cutting up tape out there. But my interaction with the host known as Positive Tommy, it was a negative one out there, which you would think would be good with Brett Beatty and a 2-run homer. Hoff,
I love negative Tommy. That's the real Tommy that I know.
How long is this shtick gonna hold up here?
I mean forever.
Get bounced in six to the Celtics. And
what's his thing? I will lead us. How about you lead us to cutting some tape out there, Tommy?
Lead us to the highlight, Tommy. Now my encounter was a little different. I didn't really I wasn't really in the mood.
Yeah.
And I like Tommy. I wasn't in the mood to have a long conversation because I had to get back on the air.
Right.
And we were both in the bathroom. Whatever, I got a bag of chips. I was talking to Gallo about something, and I said, and I just saw the ball in the air. I'm like, oh, who hit that?
Right.
And his response, now that I look back, he didn't seem very happy. He's just like this. He goes like this. He goes, Beatty.
Yeah, see?
He didn't even look up. I'm so, like, oh. And then I'm like, wind up, Gallo's sitting right next to him. As you know, Tommy wasn't seemingly in the mood for a conversation. So I started talking up Gallo. I'm like, oh, I love Beatty's swing. I've always liked his swing. That's the guy that I thought he was going to be.
Same thing. So now I know, like, Tommy and I have spent many days. We were at the Met playoff games together last year. Like, I'm going Met fan to Met fan. I see a Met home run. I'm looking for
Looking to tap up. Yeah.
Hey, Loogie, what's up, bro? What do we got here? A little Beatty two-run smash? Nothing. That was it.
Wow.
Now, again, he's busy. I get it. Everybody's got their job to do, but a negative reaction from positive Tommy.
I'm going to tell you that it's less rooted in the work that he was doing that he doesn't want to do, cutting up the tape probably. I think it's more deeply rooted in his fear that his dudes and dogs don't have it.
With the Knicks, huh?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I don't know. Those tweets ain't hitting anymore. Knicks have dudes. Knicks got problems with what the Knicks got.
Maybe he was really upset because the Yanks kept scoring runs. And he had to cut those highlights.
Cutting up that film. We got five more coming.
4-1 Yanks lead. Cleveland Mets up on the Phils and Zach Wheeler. 2-0 right now. Looking for the sweep this afternoon. Dustin is in Flemington. What's up, Dustin?
BT Sal. What's going on, guys?
How are you, Dustin?
What's up, pal?
So I got one thing to say. I love that you guys do those games that you did the Batman list a couple weeks ago. You guys are thinking about doing the music song contest.
Well, we have one. We have a power up tomorrow. Yep, yeah. Power up every Thursday. Keep going. We got something good for you.
So you guys have the perfect opportunity. I don't know when this is going to happen again. This is the rarest thing where the Yankees and Mets are live. Well, you guys are live. Why don't BT, you give us your best Dave Sims, Sal. You give us your best Howie Rose, and off to be the judge.
It's got to be a little more spontaneous. And remember when you asked me to do the...
Yeah, you were good with the golf with Nance.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you did
spontaneously.
Pretty good.
Look at Rodon.
Oh, look at an off-balance throw by Rodon. And
did you see Rodon here? So not only does he not feel the ball the right way, look at him get upset. Look.
He looks like, oh,
he's upset with himself, but still, he's a fiery competitor, which I like.
Yep, but there's got to be an ability to control it.
Right.
And he melts when he melts.
Are you sure he's pissed at himself? He looked like he was yelling at Wells.
No, stop.
Well, I can't believe you called that pitch.
Did he fumble the ball? Like, I just saw him catch it.
He did.
So he dropped it.
Yeah.
What the hell is he mad at Wells for?
No, I think he was mad at Wells. Hoff's just trying to create fake controversy here.
I didn't see I just saw the tail end of the play.
I like doing this. We were just talking about this during the break.
Here's the pitch from Rodon.
It's fun to be able to watch the games together.
Yeah, I like this.
And
react
on the air. It is fun. Now, I wish we had two TVs around here.
Yeah, I'll go with one.
Thinking ahead. thinking ahead. Let me just see what's going on in the Met games.
Commercial.
There we go. Back to Rodon.
Here's the pitch.
But I don't want to do the... you were in the booth for a game.
For two.
I always
Not a game, two.
I always used to think I wanted to do two games. Sorry.
Don't tell me short, buddy.
All right. No, two games. I got it. You got to be legit with that.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to be a play-by-play guy, and then I realized how much freaking work it is. I can never do that. I can never
do... Yes, you can. But you can. But
physically do it, sure.
I think you'd be more passable than you think. See, what I did was I just lied, and I just hustled. The first time I ever did play-by-play was in 1999, which was my first radio job.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a morning show, a little tiny, weeny, teeny station out in Pennsylvania, Allentown, PA. Shout out to Allentown. Love them. First station. And they said, hey, I think I was making $16,000. I mean, I was piss poor, but I'm on the air, my first job, I'm loving life, and I'm young, in my 20s. They said, can you do play-by-play high school football? I'm like, absolutely. Never done a day in my life. Dude, the game started, I had no idea what I was doing. The band.
I got the
trumpets, and the trumpets, like, the blaring in my face. I'm in this little teeny wooden press box that was probably built right around the Depression in the late 20s. I have no idea how to mechanically call, third and seven, left to right, shotgun, he rolls out, here comes the defense, flushed, he throws it out of bounds. Like, I can't do any of that. I just made it up. I got my $50.
Did you do the same thing to get in the Yankee booth last year?
No, I think they just listened to my baseball wisdom over the years, and they said, we want this man in the booth. That's what I think happened.
Oh, okay. You sure there was no, like, different, I can do this?
Yeah, a little different.
All right. All right, why don't you break us off something here? Why don't you give us a little, as the caller said? I mean, we do take requests here.
I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble with the FCC. We can't really do it.
Well, no, what do you mean? The Yankees are our station. Who's going to get us in trouble?
Throw down at the belt. There's the pitch. A little slider up high. You got to do the inflection. See, I'd rather do basketball. Because I could get in a 20-second run, left side, pump fake, in the paint, fall the way out, no good, back rim, here comes Halliburton with the rebound, pace. Like, I could do that. Baseball's boring.
I could do the commentary.
I mean, on the radio when we're doing a radio show.
Ooh, Soto's up. We're gonna after
well,
this
let's
pitch.
Go.
Let's go up.
All right, I said he's going yard today.
Maybe it happens
said
before we sign off here in a minute and a half. Come on, Juan.
I said he's going yard. Here's the pitch inside.
Ball
Soto.
Inside. Yeah. No shuffle yet.
I was just
from
gonna
Juan.
Say that. No, so, you know, it's
he
been
still
a,
looks like such a.
I'll get
I
off
love
his
him.
Jock. He's hitting 241. He still looks like what?
Yeah, no, he still looks like such a alpha male. I love him. I wanted to say so many, you know, things that I don't know if I could say on the radio. I love him.
A little inside as
which
well.
Which is why I'm so harsh on him. Down low. Now Wheeler putting himself in a bad predicament here.
Good.
No,
sure.
We can do a little back and forth here, but.
All right, so I'll be the color here. You got to play by play. So Soto has Lindor, of course, over on first base off to a red hot start here. And they were waiting for that first, that shuffle. It's been a while.
Mets have been on fire at home, but Juan Soto, their prize acquisition, yet to hit his first home run as a member of the Mets at Citi Field. Ooh, that was a pitch. 96 miles an hour right down the middle. See, he looks off. He looks off. What are you questioning, Juan? Let's go.
Take it easy, play-by-play, man. I told you I can't do this.
No,
I mean, that's a fastball you got to thread, man. That was right over the plate, 95.
Year,
you got to crush that
and
pitch.
And last year he does. Inside, 3-1 now.
Had a little tail on that. Came back in, a little backdoor inside. So Soto at the customary spot, 2-2. Never afraid to go deep into a count, but he does not look like the guy who tore it up for the Yankees a year ago.
All right, let's see what we got here. This will be the final pitch, and then we got to say goodbye for the day. Wheeler to Soto, 2-2.
That's strike. That's a strike.
Yeah, well, it's a strike. It's
that's
outside
a
the
strike.
Box.
Sit him down.
I thought,
in the
all right, 3-2. We got one more pitch. We can see here. Right, Dove, hold on a minute here. Soto digging in, 3-2 the count. Bottom three, Mets have a 2-0 lead, looking for the sweep over the Phils. Ooh, the split screen.
I like the Wheeler split screen. That's why I do.
Soto chewing on that gum. Pops it up.
Popped up. Inside.
See, that's what I mean, dude.
Jammed.
Popped it up.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.